My first witness is Professor Patrick Minford from the University of Liverpool, a widely published economist. Professor Minford, the clips we have heard in the presentation for the prosecution describe the sorts of faults there are in the social security system. Do you agree with them? And if you do, can you say how big a problem we've got?
Well, I think we can start by noting that it costs £50,000 million a year to pay out the benefits that we currently pay out. And that works out at about £1,500 a year for each taxpayer. The second point is the loss of output, what we could produce if we, in fact, were using all the people who are made idle by the welfare state. That's probably of the order of £40,000 million a year, about 5% of national income.
Any thinking about the social security system has to take into account not only how we would like it to be here, but the international climate, especially the state of our competitors. What would be the effect of trying to compete with other countries in the world who are less shackled with high welfare costs without reducing ours? And indeed, are there countries with lower welfare costs than ours?
The basic problem is that, as in fact B said, there is a globalised economy in which there is huge competition for our own workforce from millions of low-wage workers around the world. And, of course, that competition enables them to improve their living standards. But the problem for us is that if we create a culture where there isn't the incentive to get education, where there isn't a properly motivated workforce, you're clearly going to have a workforce there that can't compete properly, can't make the best use of the opportunities that exist in a developed country. And instead, of course, they have to compete directly by falling wages.
You were asked particularly about international comparisons. Are there any that would illuminate here?
Well, of course, if you look at Asia, you find there's no welfare state at all.
Before you're passed over to the defence, I'd like to put one other point to you. You use the phrase made idle by the welfare state. I imagine you meant to use that phrase. What did you mean by it, and how do you justify made idle by the welfare state?
Well, I think the basic mechanism by which unemployment is created through the welfare state is by raising wages. If you create a minimum on welfare, you can't get people to take jobs at wages below that minimum. That is the most basic mechanism by which welfare creates unemployment and dependency.
Thank you, that's fine. I'd like to pass you over now to B. Campbell to cross-examine.
You're one of the government's wise men. Now, give us a clue. When you say, if we could get people back to work, it's been in power a long time, what could it do to get people back to work? And how far would you go to shrink this welfare state, which you argue is making millions of people idle?
Well, I think we want to see a flexible labour market, which enables people, to use the phrase that's a nice, convenient one, to price themselves back into work. I think at the same time, you need to have an economy that where monetary policy is working properly and recovery is proceeding.
But don't we already have a low-wage economy? And how much lower do you want us to go? And how far would you actually be committed to following the your argument about Asia, which is to withdraw benefit altogether from the unemployed?
Well, it is a fact that the Asian economies have no welfare state at all.
Is that what you want?
Well, I think in the long term, that's what we need to aim at, because we need to have people providing for themselves over their lifetime. And what has happened is the state has moved in, replaced people's own self-provision. And if we had self-provision, that would create the incentives, first of all, to get education, and secondly, of course, to get jobs, to get onto the bottom of the jobs ladder and acquire training on the job, which is a good way of improving yourself in the workplace.
But tell us, how far would you go and how quickly would you go there? Would you now withdraw benefit from the unemployed?
Well, I think anybody looking at the situation where we are wouldn't say, do it tomorrow. Of course not. This is a programme that has to be done over a long period of time.
How long, please, Professor Minford?
I've argued that something like a decade is needed to get us back on the path of a properly functioning economy in which people actually provide for themselves. In fact, one could argue two decades.
My second witness is Professor David Marsland of Brunel University. David Marsland is both an academic researching on welfare and is also one of the pioneers of training for work with young people. David, the social security system wastes money and it misdirects it. But is the chief cost of misguided social security financial? What sorts of problems are we dealing with when we talk about welfare problems?
The economic costs are certainly huge, but that seems to me the least of the problems caused by state welfare. It creates dependency, it blunts enterprise, it kills the virtues. It's a moral problem, basically.
And you've studied countries which do not have a social security system which does those things. Can you tell us something about them, without going into elaborate descriptions? In particular, can you tell us something about two concepts, conditionality and liability to maintain?
There are precious few countries throughout the world which have such a comprehensive state welfare system as Britain, so the examples could be many, but I'm thinking of the United States in part, Switzerland in part, Japan in part. There are important examples from across the world where it's assumed that one will be held accountable for what one is responsible for, including, for example, one's spouse and one's children. The welfare state destroys that.
How does that work in practice?
It's simply written in, as it was indeed in the Reform Poor Law in Britain until just before the war, that kin had obligations to support members of their family who were on hard times.
So that the state could step in and give some assistance, but would then seek to have that paid for by any kin with the money to pay.
Yes, and it was a perfectly commonsensical assumption which socialists have had to work hard to destroy, that one should look after one's own.
And what do we mean by conditionality, where payment of benefit is conditional on behaviour change?
Workfare is the best known example. But the danger with state welfare is that it becomes a dole which then destroys the people it's supposed to help. Our opponents will make it seem that we're attacking those who are helped. But on the contrary, my position, like yours, is that we should be looking after them. And conditionality helps people, when they're getting help, to get out from under the destructive effect of the help.
Thank you. I'll pass that when it's over to B. Campbell.
Professor Marlowe, I'm interested in your moral prospectus. What would you do, for instance, about the remarkable rise in the era of Thatcherism of mothers preferring to parent alone rather than put up with hurt, humiliation and abuse? Do you want to return them to the poor law?
Well, I think your way of describing the situation is very one-sided and biased anyway, just as it was in your earlier presentation of it. The trend which you described began to go steep long before the Conservative government, in any case.
But it rose exponentially during the era of Thatcherism.
Nevertheless, you're bracketing it off in a completely spurious way in order to try and blame Conservatism. What we're talking about is the decay of the family, of which there are many causes.
But women aren't skedaddling from their kids, are they? Many women are heroically bringing up children on their own.
Absolutely right, and they deserve all credit for that. But that doesn't mean that giving them credit means that we help them most by simply giving them money and letting the men off and not helping them to get skills and to move forward so they can look after them even better, as they should.
Well, we're not letting the men off, are we? But let's move on to another category, which I think you're probably very interested in, the young people who sleep on the streets, who've fled often abuse and cruelty at home. What would you want to do with them?
In regard to the homeless, you need to make distinctions among them. There are among homeless young people a small proportion who have fled genuinely and properly from savage homes. Those children, young people, need direct and effective help of a sort we can't seem to provide. The state children's homes seem to have become state brothels. But among the homeless young people, there are many others who've left home over a tiff, who've left home because young people have been encouraged to think that they have a right to live autonomously at that age. They should be discouraged, and you won't discourage them by building council houses for them.
You'll have noticed the prosecution witness making an emotive assertion in referring to state brothels. How does the prosecution maintain that welfare systems cause homelessness, especially young people sleeping rough on the streets? David Marsland again.
I believe the evidence is perfectly clear. The way it does it is by damaging the family, leading to dysfunctions in the family, which drives them out. It causes it, secondly, by encouraging young people to think that they will be able to get help, when if they knew they wouldn't, they'd be more realistic about little tiffs at home and they'd stay there.
That concludes the case for the prosecution. They have argued that those genuinely and blamelessly in need, widows, orphans, disabled people, are shortchanged by a system which panders to far too many undeserving claimants, those who through idleness, sexual promiscuity, financial fecklessness or downright fraud abuse society's generosity and, what's more, threaten to bring the whole structure crashing down in the process. The system, they say, does not work. You must decide. Has the case been proved? Or are there other explanations, other arguments that present a different view?